Good morning, everybody. All right. Oh, hey, before Ruby, before you go, did you see Ruby signing O Canada today? Wasn't that awesome? Ruby, you're so talented. You can teach me that next time you come to our house for music lessons. So there you go. Wow, it's great to have you here today. And I don't know about you, but Remembrance Day just kind of moves me. It just kind of hits me and gets me in all of the feels. And so, Brandon, thank you for representing and kind of leading the color party today. Doug, for your part in helping us out today. And really serious about the wreath is ours to keep until it falls apart. So, you know, stick your poppy in there at the end of the day. And we'd love to have... Doug's going to lay it for us tomorrow out in Sydney as he watches and supports Jaden in that role. So we are carrying on with our series called This Is Us. I am a little nervous about this wreath because if I get kind of fired up, it could get kicked over. And so thank you, Heidi. There you go. All right. Now everybody feels better. Me especially. Me especially. So we're kicking off our series or coming back to our series called This Is Us. And this morning, we're going to talk about planting trees. I know it's very spiritual, but we are talking about planting trees. I grew up in northwestern Ontario in a little place called Ignace, which is halfway between Thunder Bay and Kenora, because like nobody knows where Ignace is. If you were ever there, you basically just stopped for gas and kept on going, because there was really nothing there. And so every summer... And usually at Christmas, we would go to Saskatchewan, to where my parents grew up, and we'd spend, you know, a couple of weeks there, and, you know, whatever it might be. And so, that, you know, split our time between my mom's mom and dad, and then my dad's mom, who we called Granny. And so we'd go and visit Granny, and, you know, I had aunts and uncles and cousins in Regina, and so every so often we'd you know, go on a road trip. And we're driving down the highway... and it's just bald prairie. I mean, the only thing significant about the location of where this little conversation happened is there was a hamlet on the side of the road, and there was a curve in the road. That's the only thing in that strip of highway that makes it significant. But my grandma is in the car beside me. My granny's in the car beside me. And you know, everybody's just, they're just having a conversation. And I was like maybe 8 or 9 years old. And she puts her hand on my shoulder and she points to this grove of trees surrounding a schoolhouse. And she said, in her German accent, "Tim, when I was a little girl, I helped plant those trees. I help plant those trees." Now, like, I won't tell you, probably, it's probably over 50 years ago that she told me that story. And she said, our whole school, because it was a one-room school, our whole school went out and we planted trees. And on the day we planted those trees, our teacher said to us, "One day, these trees, you will be older, and these trees will be taller and bigger than they are today, and you'll look at them, and you'll remember planting these trees." Pretty cool story, right? I'll tell you that this summer, we were in Saskatchewan, and I went to visit my dad's oldest brother, my favorite uncle who's still alive, and I went to visit him, and I drove past that little village. And I looked at those trees and remembered that moment. Those trees today are probably 110 years old, maybe older than that. But there's this moment when we think about planting trees, we're talking about legacy, we're talking about future, we're talking about investment. Jesus had one parable, I think it's only one parable, where he referenced a tree. One that comes to mind, anyway. Lots of illustrations in the Bible about trees, but there's this one out of Matthew chapter 13. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. Jesus says this: "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches." Now, If you go online and you Google mustard tree, this is rather amusing to me. If you Google mustard tree, you get a picture of a well-shaped tree, probably an elm or an oak, but it's just all in yellow. Because there are really no mustard trees. You need to understand, Jesus uses something common in the parable, right? So the story is not meant to be taken literally. He's just making a biblical point. Many trees are bigger than mustard bushes. I learned this, that mustard is related to cabbage. Jane Newman is nodding her head. It's like, yeah, so what? I know that, right? But mustard is related to cabbage. And it doesn't ever really grow to become the size of a tree. It'll become a tall plant, but it'll never really grow to be the size of a tree. Jesus is just making a point. And he uses mustard because mustard was common. Everybody had mustard in their yard or in their house or in their garden, whatever it might be. It's also worth mentioning that mustard is an invasive plant. It's an invasive plant. When my uncles were farming, you didn't want wild mustard in your crop because it cost you when you sold your grain, when you sold your wheat or whatever it was at the end of the year. So, remembering that, right? It's invasive, and that's an important part of our conversation this morning. Now, if Jesus was on Vancouver Island today, he might say this. Now, the kingdom of heaven, take me to the next slide. The kingdom of heaven is like blackberry vines, because they're everywhere, right? Or he might, in keeping with the yellow theme, say, now the kingdom of heaven is like Scotch broom, right? You get the idea. It's invasive. It's everywhere. It's a common picture that people gravitate to and understand really quickly. Mustard seeds are small, right? Bedding plants are small. Seeds of whatever kind you might sow are small. They're tiny. But we plant them. They die. And they produce good things. The parable, the primary message in the parable of the mustard seed is this: that great things great things come out of small beginnings if we are faithful to do our part. Big things come out of small beginnings if we are faithful to do our part. It means I've got to take a step of faith. I need to take action. I need to have a plan. I need to be faithful in the plan. There are things that I need to do in order for the small thing to become a big thing. I'll give you some very simple examples. Now, I am not dispensing. My disclaimer to those of you watching online, I am not dispensing financial advice. Okay? But if you were to... Something's changed with my audio here a little bit. I'm boomier than I was a minute ago. If you were to invest $100 a month starting at age 25, by the time you hit age 65, you have $1.2 million in the bank. Give or take, there are other factors. But just kind of as a general example, $100 a month over 40 years produces a nice nest egg. Right? Here's another one for you. If you exercise for 30 minutes a day. Look at all of the good things that can happen for you. Strengthen your heart, reduce your body fat. Wayne gives me a bad time. He says this box squeaks for people who are over 200 pounds. And I just want to, no squeak, baby. Right? Decreases stress, improves memory, it boosts your immune system, enhances productivity, manages chronic pain, improves sleep, maintains muscle strength, increases your lifespan. 30 minutes of exercise. You can do whatever you want to do. Walk, lift weights, swim. Just get up off of that couch and move your body a little bit. Good things will happen for you. Here are, just free today, seven benefits of quiet time with God. I had this built in before my devotions this morning, but this was in my devos today. That when I take time to discipline myself to have a meaningful connect time with Jesus, When I do that every day, if I make that part of my practice, he empowers me to live the way he made me to live. Right? That's a whole other way of looking at things than the guilt and shame that, you know, read your Bible, pray every day, you'll grow, neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink. What were we thinking? Right? Good idea, wrong application. 7 benefits of a quiet time with God. Do this on a regular basis, you'll strengthen your relationship with Jesus. 2, you'll stay focused on what matters. 3, you'll grow your faith. 4, you'll be encouraged in your walk. 5, you'll hear God's voice. 6, you'll offer prayer and gratitude. 7, you'll share your burdens with God. 7 benefits out of 15 or 20 minutes a day. Small things become big things. I'd say this, that one of the best things that my parents did for my sister and I was to raise us in church. One of the best things they did for us. Right, take me to the next slide, please. Right, we learned about Jesus, we learned about prayer, we learned about worship, we learned what it meant to be a follower of Christ, we learned memory verses. My job Sunday afternoon was to take my Sunday school paper, lay on my bed, learn my memory verse. Anybody have that experience, right? Right? If you didn't know it, and then have a nap. The nap was the hardest part, right? The nap was cruel and unusual punishment, right? We learned to serve. We learned to support. We learned to invest in the kingdom. The second best thing they did for us was to model what it means to be a follower of Jesus through the good days and the bad days. I'll tell you that in the worst days of our family's history, in the worst and darkest days of our family's history, I watched my parents hold on to each other and hold on to Jesus and model for us what it looked like to walk through unthinkable loss and be full of faith and hope that God was going to redeem it for good. When we were in this little town where I grew up, they did a community parade, and I don't know how it happened or whatever, but we had a church float in the parade, and it's one of these things that just kind of sticks in my mind. And they had a sign on the side of the float, that said this: a child brought up in Sunday school is seldom brought up in court. Right? It's cute. I think it was some former director of the FBI in the States that had said it, but it's true. Not many of my Sunday school friends had encounters with the law. Not many of them had that. This whole thing, right, it's a small thing. Now, I'll be honest with you. I at different times in my life, I was a handful. There were Sundays where I feigned near death to avoid going to church. It did not work. Right? It was like, get to church, Jesus will heal you. I had to be really, really sick, like really sick, before that was going to happen. But this idea, it's a small thing. Right, we kind of make it this complicated thing, but it's just a small thing to raise. I know many of you, your kids are gone or whatever, but to raise our kids in the house of God, it's an important thing. It's what gives us legacy. It's what gives us legacy. We plant seeds now that produce fruit later. And we live our lives, and we know that things don't always work out the way we hope they will. They don't always work out the way that we dream that they will. But there is something powerful, even after your kids are adults, making their own choices to continue to be a parent, not running their lives, not telling them what to do, not holier than thou shaming them into things, but just walking out your faith, right, in a godly and humble way that points them to the advantage and the benefit of Christ-like living. Someone should say amen. Hard to do. But as we stick with it, it produces really good results. So, here we are at City Light. What are the small things that we're doing? How are we planting trees? What are we working on? So, let me tell you some things that we're doing. I counted 21 people who showed up. 21 people showed up for pre-service prayer today. It's 7 minutes. You know what's happening in that time? We're learning to pray. We're touching Jesus. We're connecting with him. We're laying a foundation. We're sowing into our future. We're sowing into our future. 7 minutes per Sunday, up from two or three people, you know, pacing in the room over there to 20 people or more here every Sunday. Come be a part of it. Don't be shy. It's not going to hurt you. You're going to get a win, I promise. Right? We started doing community-focused Sundays. Last year, at about this time, we get this idea, Claudio and I get this idea that we're gonna hand out invitations to every household in our neighborhood. Every household in the neighborhood. Angela got involved, Jane got involved, others of you got involved, and we prayer walked and handed out invitations. I don't know how many we put out, but there were a ton that went out. And on the Sunday before Christmas, our goal was to hit 100 people. We didn't get there, but like we were like banging around 80 somewhere in there. Fantastic. Really fantastic stuff. Lather, rinse, repeat. We did the same thing Easter Sunday. About another 8 people, hit around 90 people. I'm kind of thinking that if we were to, you know, go around and drop invitations in boxes again and prayer walk again and believe God again, we might crack 100. Anybody with me? There you go. Fantastic. We'll be reaching out to you later. See how I did that, right? Community events, right? How because we have to figure out how we're going to communicate that there's life here. Right? That there's vibrancy here, that there's something here that will change your life. God, you can meet Jesus here and your life can be transformed and your world can be changed forever because of the way you would encounter and experience him here at City Light. So we have to figure out how we're going to do that, which means we've got to make it comfortable for people to come into this place. So Cheryl has an idea. She wants to do a Christmas craft fair. Fantastic. Let's do it. Let's open the doors to our community and see what God will do with that. Nice and simple stuff. Still tracking? Small stuff. When we lived in Kamloops, we were pastoring in Kamloops. This couple comes to our church, and they'd moved in from the island. And they met with me, and they said, hey, we want to talk to you about something. I said, yeah, sure, fantastic. What do you want to do? And so, well, you know, have you ever heard of Alpha? I said, yeah, I've heard of Alpha. We tried it with our small groups. It sucked. That's because we just ran the videos. We didn't do the manual. We didn't actually do it the way you're supposed to do it. We just kind of all tried to stay awake during the video because we didn't understand what was going on. And I said, yeah, we did it. It was terrible. And they said, Alpha is not terrible. Alpha is amazing. I said, really? Tell me more about it. Well, did you follow the manual? No, we're men. Like, why would we follow a manual? Right? Did you have a meal? No, everybody just eats at home. Did you train anybody? No, why would we do that? We're men. We'll figure it out as we go. They said, well, let me tell you about what happened at our church. We were a tiny church, and we started to run Alpha. And Alpha is just this course that's designed to help people explore the Christian faith in a safe environment. Runs for about 11 weeks. It's like, and in my head, I'm like, well, that's a long time. And I said, yeah, it runs for 11 weeks, and people share a meal together, and the meal is a really important part to me. We share the meal together, we have a conversation, someone hosts it, and table people, we have people at each table who facilitate it. And you know, there are no dumb questions. There are no churchy answers. We just kind of let people talk. And so I said, yeah, sure, let's give it a go. So we started. We ran our first Alpha course, and I don't know, maybe we had 3 tables. Maybe 24 people showed up at the first time we did it. And probably out of those initial 24 people that came, 10. Gave their lives to Jesus and plugged into our church. We had one couple, they plugged in, they became good friends, that during Alpha, they're talking about this moment where Jesus ascends to heaven, and there's the two angels, right, who come and say, man of Israel, why are you staring up into the sky? This same Jesus will come again, all of that. And somebody said, well, who do you think those two people were? Who do you think those two beings were? And the guy goes, like, oh, maybe they were aliens. Maybe they were aliens. And man, was it awesome to baptize him about 6 weeks later. Amazing to see this transformation in his life. And so we want to do Alpha probably in January. If we need a few things to come together, but we're going to do Alpha in the new year, hopefully in January. It's a global movement. God is using Alpha all around the world to impact communities, to change people's lives, and to build churches. We went on a tear in our church largely because of using Alpha, and we probably grew by 60 or 70 people. By the time it was done, right? People, if you invited your friend to Alpha, they gave their life to Alpha, to Jesus during Alpha, you got to baptize them. That was the kind of the drill that we had. So I wouldn't get in the tank. I just watch other people baptize their friends. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome moment to see that stuff happen. So it's simple. I know some of you're already going, oh, I could never be a part of that. Trust me, you're going to be a part of that. You're going to love it. It's going to be amazing. Right? It's going to be amazing. It's going to be this incredible thing where you get to partner with the Holy Spirit and seeing him change the lives of other people. Everybody in? Whew, I love this. I love this. Right? So over the next few weeks, you're going to hear a little bit more about this. And we're going to walk it out and tell you about it. Now, the Chinese have a proverb. The proverb says this, that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time to plant a tree is today. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, right? An outcome of a flourishing relationship with Jesus is that we are constantly planting seeds for the future. We're constantly putting seed in the ground, kingdom seeds in the ground that will one day become trees that birds will build their houses in. So the Chinese had a proverb. Not to be outdone, the Greeks had a proverb. The Greek proverb said this: a society grows great when old men plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. A society grows great when old men plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. We care about society, but today we're talking about the church. So we say a church grows great when old men plant trees in whose shade they shall never sit. We started today acknowledging the sacrifice of young men and women who laid down their lives in the defense of freedom, liberty, and justice. They paid a price for the freedom that we enjoy today. We gather in this space because people with a vision for tomorrow proclaimed and modeled the good news of Jesus to their families and to their friends. They planted trees in whose shade they would never sit. Whether we're old or young, let today inspire us to sow seeds of the kingdom that will grow into the largest and tallest spiritual trees in your family, among your neighbors in Gorge Tillicum, and around the world. Everybody sad?